Good to see a lot of old friends and a bunch of new people I don't know. That's good. That's very, very good. Hallelujah. Joshua 14. There are some aging saints here. In fact, we're all aging, whether we're young or not. We're all aging. But there are some who have a head start on others here. The Who sang a song talking about my generation. And one of the lyrics that always stuck in my head was, "Hope I die before I get old." They weren't singing about years. They weren't talking about age. They were talking about a mindset. And I adhere to those lyrics. I don't want to get an old mindset. I don't want to get old. I want to stay young. And there are all sorts of advertisements. There's this one guy, you've probably seen him on billboards. They've taken this old guy's head and they've photoshopped it onto this 23-year-old body that is perfectly buff. It's an advertisement for some sort of genetic exercise diet program. And you're just looking at this, it's the most bizarre picture you'll ever see. I mean, here's this, you can tell the body can't possibly be over 23 years old, and it's got this old wrinkly face on the top. And it's only going to cost you $1,500 a month to look just like this guy. There's all sorts of pills and creams and exercise regimes that all claim to have unlocked the secret of staying young. But I believe that in our text this morning, we're going to see some of the secrets of staying young. And so if you're young here today, lay hold of these things and live them. If you're old here today, lay hold of these things and get young again. Hallelujah. We need it. So Joshua 14, beginning with verse 6, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.' And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you'll help us. You'll inspire us. You'll quicken this word in our hearts. We will be men who follow you wholly, God. Completely given to the things of the Lord. I'm asking that if there's any here that are not saved, you'll touch them with salvation. And each man, God, will lay hold of the vision and pursue the kingdom of God with his whole heart. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So we're looking at a guy who's 85 years old. By today's standards, that's an old man. We have to concede this is an old man. This is a man who is well on in years. And I'm pretty sure that Caleb probably looked old. He probably had wrinkles and planter's warts and half his hair missing and long ears and a big beard. And he probably looked old because he was. He's 85 years old. He probably had the aches and pains that come with age. The older you get, the more your lubricants dry out, the more your bones rub together, and the more you feel it. That's reality. That's what happens as we age. But listen to Caleb's statement. Now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, whether this was technically true or not, we really can't say. This is Caleb's self-opinion. All right? This isn't God said this of Caleb. Caleb's thumping his chest and saying, give it to me, man. I'm as young as I ever was. He might have been all hunched over. He might have hardly been able to move. But in his mind, he was as ready for war as when he was 16 years old. He's still thinking young. We don't know if he was in good shape or not. Maybe he was. But whether he was or not, he was still up for the challenge. That's what's critical. Doesn't matter whether he was physically fit. What matters is that he was still up for the challenge. The first of Caleb's secrets to perpetual youth is staying young in your mind. You have to keep a young heart. And when you realize you're going to live forever, 85 years is still pretty young. Amen? And so you've got to keep that in mind. You don't want to bow down to the mindset that when you get old, you retire. Pastor Mitchell hasn't retired. He's not going to retire. I'm not going to retire. I can't afford to. But I believe that this is the privilege of the people of God. That God says and promises, I'm going to keep this life of yours viable to the very end, till you cross over. I'm going to keep you strong. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And those who wait on the Lord are contrasted with those who simply have natural youth and natural vibrancy. And God says, I'm going to give you an extra Holy Ghost charge. I'm going to give you an extra element or an extra dimension in your life that will carry you well into old age. You're going to have this dominion. You're going to have this strength. You're going to outrun the youngsters. Now, I believe that at the bottom line here, it's all about what goes on in our mind. There are some characteristics of a young mind that keep us young if we pursue them. The first of these is that a young mind is teachable. A young mind is a sponge. A young mind is constantly absorbing. It's constantly learning. A young mind recognizes, this guy's been around a lot longer. He's got something he can tell me. And so a young mind is constantly learning. Doctors tell us that when you turn 60, the best thing you can do for your mind is learn a foreign language. Which is an interesting thought. But what they say is you've got to challenge this mind. Your brain is a muscle. Okay? And if you don't use it, you lose it. If you don't exercise it, it's going to go flabby. Some of you are 16, 17, 18 here. Your brain is already flabby. It's oozing out your ears. It's a horrible wreck. You never challenge it. You never push it. The only thing you do is play games. Okay? Playing games will turn you into a mental midget. You need to learn how to read, how to think, how to learn. Amen. That's the side bit. It's not even in my notes. When my dad turned 70, he learned Lisp, which is a programming language underneath CAD. CAD is computer aided design. I think that's what CAD stands for, something like that. And so Lisp is a very complicated language. It's not an easy language to learn. And when my dad was 70 years old, he went to classes, he started reading books, and he mastered Lisp. But he's retired. I said, "Dad, what are you doing this for?" "Oh, just to keep my mind engaged, just to learn something I didn't know, something that interests me." And so I gave myself to it. My dad stayed sharp till the day he died. His brain was always engaged. He was young at heart. He was young in his mind. Even when his body failed him, he was still young. And so this is one of the keys, is you have to understand, you have to keep learning, especially in the arena of God. You do not have God wired. I know that you go to the potter's house and therefore you know all things of God. But the truth of the matter is, we will spend eternity learning God. God is infinite. We are finite. We can only absorb just so much. And even when we step into eternity, we will still have limits. And the fascinating reality of God is you can keep swimming towards the bottom and you'll never touch the bottom. You'll never absorb all that God is. And so we have to constantly stay flexible enough to learn. "Well, that's not the way I see it." Well, maybe the way you see it is wrong. Maybe you have to reevaluate. Maybe it's time for you to learn something. I listen to some young preachers that are coming up and they have revelation, man. I listen to Jonathan Heimberg. He's got revelation. The guy's got insight. Greg Mitchell, your pastor. The guy's a formidable preacher. And I listen to his revelation. I listen to his insight. And, you know, I don't sit out there and go, "Oh, yeah, who's he? He's a young puck." The guy's got insight. I got stuff to learn from him. Amen? You never get to the point where you stop learning or you're already old and in the way. So you've got to keep your mind learning. A young mind is also unsophisticated. It still has the capacity to be awed. To be blown away by stuff. "Oh, that is cool." You get old and jaundiced, nothing's cool anymore. Everything in life is a big yawn. Everything in life, "I've seen that before. Why, back in my day." But the truth of the matter is, we live in an amazing world. And we live under the auspices of an amazing God. And I can't stop but be amazed. The more I read, I'm reading this book recently called A Shot to the Head of Faith. And this guy's talking about how the world and the universe and the cosmos and everything we understand is mathematical. Everything in life is mathematical. Physicists study the world and the universe through math. They don't study it through observation. They study it through math. I can't even fathom this. But they sit there with their calculations and one mathematician says, "We don't do math for numbers, we do it for beauty." So how do you make a number beautiful? It's the number. But these guys are functioning in a place where by physics, by math, they are able to identify things that are invisible to the naked eye. And what this guy's point is that if that's so, there has to be this incredible logic behind everything. And that logic is God. And atheists and people who deny the existence of God are very ignorant people. They don't understand how vast creation is. Everything in life can be defined mathematically. This is structure. This is design. There is no arguing that. So here I am. I'm reading this book and I'm going, "Man, that is so cool. It's so far beyond me, but it's so cool. This is an incredible God." Some of you are going, "I don't get it." It's an incredible God. Can you be awed by things you can't comprehend? Can you be awed by the world around you? I mean, you just drive from Las Vegas to Prescott, you can be awed. I'm cruising down the highway yesterday, and this hawk comes down right in front of me. And he's kind of paralleling me for a moment, and then he takes off this way. It's just an incredible thing to look at. It's That is so cool. I remember playing golf with Frank once, and we come out of the golf course, and this hawk just flared. Remember that? This hawk just flares in front of us. Sheesh. It was incredible. It's just a bird, but it's an incredible bird. That's part of God's creation. And if you can't be awed by the things around you, the Bible says that the invisible things of God are made known by the created things of God. And when you look at the world around you, you can see the majesty of God. You can see the wonder of God. You get old, you don't see wonder in anything. I gotta get up. Gotta get up now. There's a whole world waiting for you. Constant revelation out there. Can you be awed? Because that's a young mind. A young mind is unsophisticated. It hasn't had time to get jaundiced and self-absorbed. The third element of a young mind is it's courageous. Youth thinks itself invisible. Invincible. Invisible, too. They think that we can't see what they're doing. We can't. But they think themselves invincible. Now, you watch these kids do things on bicycles that you're not supposed to be able to do. That defies the laws of gravity, sir. That's not possible.
Well, nobody told me that.
People jumping off of mountains, you know? What would make a guy ski off the edge of a mountain? He's nuts. He's young. He's invincible. I can do this. That's the way young minds think. Young minds think that no obstacle is too great. Anything can be overcome. And that's the way Caleb thought. Caleb wants the city that is named after the biggest of the big giants. I don't want one of these midget giants. I don't want a 10-foot giant. I want the biggest giant that ever lived. He was the chief of the Anakim. He was the biggest giant of them all. And Caleb actually thought that he could whoop a giant. Amen? Well, that's the way young people think. Old people, they've fallen down a lot. They know it hurts. So they don't want to fall down again. And they get leery and they know their limitations and they don't want to push their limitations. But if you want to stay young, you got to keep pushing your limitations. You got to have a young mind. You have to stay in love with God and know that it is His intention to use you as long as you live. It is God's intention to do miracles through your life as long as you live. To do amazing things. To do great conquests. To take cities. To make a difference in the world. As long as you live. And you're going to have to keep a young mind and you're going to have to keep that perspective to keep from fading into the oblivion of old age. And that ties into the next thing you have to do to stay young, and that is you can't give up. You just can't give up. When God puts a vision in your heart, you have to fight for that as long as you have breath. You can't give up. Joshua 14:6-9, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh of the Kenizzite, said, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old then. Now I'm 85. 45 years later, Caleb has not given up. He hasn't given up on his hope. He hasn't given up on his vision. He hasn't given up on what God put in his heart. Something that was said to him 45 years earlier is still very much alive in him. See, we have ADD. We have a hard time staying fixed on the point at the end of the field. But God gives us that point. He gives us that reference point. He gives us that promise. And it is up to us to hold to that promise. God, you're going to do this. You're going to bring this to pass. Hebrews 11 talks about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, with one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. At Abraham's age, it was impossible for him to conceive. At Sarah's age, it was impossible for her to conceive. Any one of us in their shoes would have given up many years before. It's not going to happen. I must have missed God. I didn't hear from God. Abraham and Sarah said, no, we know what God told us. There's no debate. I'm not letting go of this. Admittedly, Sarah got a little weak, a little shaky. So did Abraham, for that matter. He gave us Ishmael because he got a little shaky. Thanks a lot, Abraham. We're still messing with Ishmael to this day. But the bottom line is, when push came to shove, when it came right down to the wire, neither one of them let go. They believed God well past the age of possibility. And guess what? Came to pass. Because they didn't let go. And that's one of the constant themes throughout Scripture, is Abraham's adherence to the promise. Noah worked on the ark 150 years, waiting on the promise. That's a long project. Amen. You can see him out there with his shopsmith day after day, just tinkering away, hammering away, building this massive boat. Had never seen rain, had no reason for believing that this boat was ever going to float. But he just kept at it, kept at it, kept at it for 150 years. He never let go of the vision. You know what? I have a vision. God spoke to me when I was just a young convert that I would see a revival unlike any revival in history. It would be the end times revival. It would be the last great revival on planet Earth. God put that in my heart before I even came into this fellowship. God put that in my heart. I knew that I was going to see a blowout revival. I got saved at the tail end of a blowout revival. It was a major revival. It shook all the youth of America. It was such a prominent revival that it made the cover of Life magazine, made the cover of all the major publications. It was a generation-shaking revival, and yet that is going to be a dim, dim thing compared to the revival that God is going to give us in these last days. There is going to be such an outpouring. There are going to be souls coming into our churches from places we can't even comprehend. What brought you here? How did you get here? God brought me here. And I am here by the hand of God. And I have labored in this vision for 38 years. I have been a Christian and believed that in my heart of hearts, I am going to see this come to pass. God is going to raise up men, so many that I can't send them out as fast as God's given them to me. I can't even disciple them at the rate that they're coming in. I believe this with my whole heart. There are going to be young men that are so gripped with the vision of touching their generation that nothing can stop them. It's going to be an army of God-fearing, God-loving, God-exalting men that it's just going to... God is going to field an army that is going to cover the earth. And then He's going to take us all home. I am not going to watch that revival from the balcony of heaven. I'm going to be here for it. I am convinced of that. And I labor in the hope of that vision. I believe it's coming. And I'm going to keep hammering until it happens. And then I'm going to ride the wave. Amen. I feel like my whole life has been spent swimming out to catch that wave. When it comes, it's going to be like, have you seen these things that these guys ride? These 80-foot waves? You know, they got to be towed into them by ski-doos. And they go down this, it looks like a mountain of water. That's what revival's going to be. We're going to be surfing this thing, looking at each other going, whoa! This is really cool. Beloved, this is coming. You got to hold to the vision. You don't want to be out chasing some conspiracy theory when revival breaks. You don't want to have spent your life dawdling around doing nothing. You want to be braced for this revival. You want to be ready to catch the wave when it comes, so that your life can play a major role in this. There's some of you here right now who feel this. You know it's true. God told you just like He told me. You had a vision of this. You could see it happening on a worldwide scale. All I can tell you is don't give up. If you want to stay young, don't give up. Don't abandon the vision. Don't say, you know what, we're just spinning our wheels. This is the best that it's going to be. We're going to have to fight for every soul, and we're going to lose two for every one we get. That's madness. That'll make you old before your time. You got to hold the vision, man. You got to hold the reality that God wants to do something through your life. And then the third thing that comes to mind is that as much as you can't give up, you can't give in. You can't give in to the voices of the naysayers. You can't give in to fear. You can't give in to the burdens of life, the gravity of life. You can't give in to the downward pull that every one of us experiences and every one of us faces. This is what makes our ears long when we get old. It's gravity. It's what makes your nose long when you get old. It's gravity. Gravity is constantly resisting you. You're constantly swimming against gravity. Well, life is like that too. And if you give in, you find yourself bitter. You find yourself frustrated. You find yourself angry. You find yourself weary. You can't give in to the pressures of resistance. Joshua 14:12. Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Caleb didn't give in to the unbelief of his brethren. He didn't give in to the naysayers. He didn't give in to their constant complaining. Can you imagine what it was like wandering with that generation for 40 years in the wilderness? Filled with their unbelief, filled with their murmurings. The only record we have of Israel is they gave Moses fits. For 40 years. Here's Caleb. He's marching in the ranks of these groaners and complainers and blah, blah, we're in this and that and that and that. Goes on and on and on. I want to tell you that that's the same today. You will find yourself surrounded by people who have nothing but evil to say. And everything they say is discouraging, and they have no faith, they have no vision. And he had to listen to them moaning and whining. You know, it's amazing he didn't go postal. It's amazing Caleb didn't just whip out an AK-47 and give the Democrats a reason for gun control back then. I've been saved for 38 years. I've seen him come. I've seen him go. I've been through rebellions. I've been through splits. Some of my closest peers, my litter mates that I came up as a disciple with, rounded on the things of God, rounded on Christ like mad dogs. I've listened to the words of unbelief. I've heard the spoutings of rebels. I've suffered enormous losses personally. I have personally failed greatly. I have been involved in all sorts of calamities. I've watched people that were dear to me completely abandon the faith. I've been stretched so thin sometimes you could play me with a violin bow. I've been through all of that, but I'm still here. Because I'm not about to give in. I didn't start this race to drop out. I didn't start this race to succumb to the pressures of resistance. I'm still here. I haven't caved in and I'm not going anywhere. Whether you like me or not, doesn't matter. I'm going to be here. I'm the booger you can't flick. I'm the barnacle that you can't get off your boat. I can't even comprehend why anyone would want to go back to Egypt. I can't comprehend the mindset of a backslider. It just blows my mind. I understand weariness. I understand defeat, discouragement, despair. I understand loss. I understand all those things. But what are you going to go back to? What is there? A television. You're going to backslide so you can watch TV. Brilliant. Sit there with your beer, get fat, watch TV. What an absolute waste of life. What on earth compares with Christ? With what He's done, who He is, the glory? If you can walk away from that, something, some switch got thrown. Something in your brain died. Something is terribly sick in you to be able to turn away from who Christ is. It's just beyond imagination. Why would you fight the world, the flesh, and the devil for 20 years and then give up? Why would you go through this? I don't know about you, but my Christianity has not been a cakewalk. It hasn't just been this easy slide into heaven. It's been punching it out every way. Trying to give as good as I get. Try to give the devil the same headaches he's given me. There's nothing easy about this. Why would I go through this for 38 years and then go, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm going to go do something else. Paul wondered the same thing about the Galatians. He couldn't figure them out. He says in Galatians 3:1, "Oh, you poor," reading from the Amplified, "Oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians." I like that. I like the Amplified. "Who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you? Unto whom right before your very eyes, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified." He's trying to get his head around this. Why would you walk away from that? From that revelation of who Christ is? Oh, Pastor, you just don't know how hard it gets. I know all about how hard it gets. I've had plenty of my own hardship, and I've counseled people who make my life look easy. And they're still here, and they're still living for God, and they're still loving God because they know whom they know. And to turn your back and give in on that is just incomprehensible. The NLT of Galatians 4, 9, and 11 says, "So, now that you know God," or should I say, "now that God knows you, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world?" Verse 11, "I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing." Galatians 5, 7, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Paul was perplexed. He'd given himself to these people. He knew their conversion experience was real. He knew that the Galatians got it. And he's wondering, what happened to it? How were you able to lose track of Jesus Christ? So you have to stand against everything that would lead you astray. Anything that would pull you down. Anything that would turn you from the life of following Christ. Staying young is all about drawing life from Jesus. Staying attached to the vine. We are the branches. We get our life from the vine. And as you stay close to Jesus, you stay young. You stay vibrant. You stay fruitful. You stay alive. You drink from the water of the wells of salvation. Caleb said, "I am in the condition I am in because I have wholly served the Lord. I have completely given myself to this. This is my life. This is what I live for. It's not Jesus and a whole bunch of other things. I live for Christ. I live for God. I live for the things of God, and that's how I stay young." I've talked to people who have left the faith, and you can see it in their eyes, the aging process. You talk to backsliders, and it's like they've been rode hard and left out in the rain. Their lives are just over. Nothing to live for. No reason, no overarching dynamic to life whatsoever. Just a hopeless plodding towards the end of life with nothing to show for it. You've got to stay close to God. Paul, on the other hand, says, you know what? I'm going to sprint across the finish line. I have run the race. I am still running. And when I cross the line, I'm going to be running. I'm not going to be plodding. I'm not going to be dragging myself. I'm going to run across this thing. I'm going to stay young. I believe, beloved, I don't know what shape my body's going to be in 20 years. But I am convinced what shape my heart and mind are going to be in. I've already made that. I've made my mind up about that. There's no room for argument. There's no room for changing this. I've settled it in my mind and in my heart. I'm going to run across the finish line. I'm going to go with Caleb. I'm going to live the life of Caleb until the day I die. And that's the kind of choice you have to make. Holy. Live for God holy. What else are you going to live for? What else is so important? Money? Prestige? Having a name? Being somebody? Being the best loser in a world of losers? Just doesn't make sense. God and God alone is worthy of our life's surrender. He's worthy of everything we got. And if you'll do that, if you'll give Him everything you got, you'll stay young. I'd like every head bowed in here, every eye closed. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You're not born again. You don't know what I'm going on about. You don't know the glory of Christ. Paul calls the gospel of the glory of Christ. Back in 1974, I was introduced to the living Savior, Jesus Christ, alive from the dead. Having gone to Calvary for me by choice. Having taken that cross on His back. Having taken a beating that would have killed any other man. Hanging naked on that cross for my sin. It was my sin that put Him there. It was my sin and my sin nature and the reality that I am a sinner that compelled Jesus to do what is unthinkable. He laid aside the garments of His deity. He laid aside His glory and all of the prerogatives of heaven. He laid that aside and came to earth for me, for you. That is the most incredible sacrifice you have ever heard of. Died for us, and then He rose again in power. Because death could not hold Him. He is the living God, and He is alive in this place right now. And if you would bow your knee to Him, by that I mean you would simply surrender. You would go down and say, this is it, God. My life is not my own. You're my Creator, You're my God, and from this day forward, I will no longer pretend to be God. I will no longer call my own shots, live my own way. I will follow You. I will give my life to You. I will be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you will do that, the Bible says that you will live. That you will have everlasting life. That the Spirit of the living God will come into your heart. And He will radically change you. He will begin to produce in you the fruit of the Spirit that is incomprehensible to mere men. The power of God changing you, delivering you, transforming you. That's available to you this morning. That's the offer that He makes to you. Will you repent and believe? That's what Jesus preached. Repent and believe. Turn from the life of sin. Put your faith in Christ. Follow Him all the days of your life. If your desire is to do that this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you raise your hand? Say, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. I need Jesus. I need the living God in my heart. Or maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you turned your back on Christ. You went for the okey-doke. It's incomprehensible, but people do it all the time. It just speaks to the reality of how wicked our hearts are. And any one of us could do it, but it is a wickedness. It is an insanity that seizes the heart of a man. You're here this morning and you go, yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely nuts for me to leave my father's house and move into a pig pen. It was nuts. That was the craziest thing I've ever done. I can't imagine why I did it. I'm coming home. I'm coming home today. Raise your hand all over this building. I'm coming home today. I'm going to live for God. Backsliding is nuts. I'm not living here anymore. Anybody at all? And speaking to men of God, Christians, some of you are still pretty young here. Some of you are gaining in years. But I believe that in eternity, our vibrancy and our life is going to be an ongoing reality in Christ. I don't think we have to wait for eternity to experience that. I believe we have eternal life. That is the constant message of Scripture. When you study through the thought of eternal life, you realize it's a present tense word. It's talking about what we have now. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to get it. I already have it. And that eternal life includes, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. What a great image that is. They'll run and not be weary. They'll stay in the race to the very end of things. And they'll run across the finish line. They'll be running into heaven when that day comes. Why would we get old? Why would we want to retire from the kingdom of God? You got to stay young. You got to live Caleb's secrets. You got to keep your mind young. You can't give up on the vision that God puts in your heart. And you can't give in to the resistance, the gravity of life. Stay young, man. Stay flexible. Stay involved. Give your whole heart to this. Stay close to Jesus. Draw from His life and you find that you've got more juice than you know what to do with. I'm going to just surrender this to time of prayer. We don't really have much of an altar here, so just pray where you are. But make a commitment before God. God, I'm not going to get old. I'm not going to get tired and weary and bitter and crusty and resentful and angry and begin to let the problems that I encounter in life wear me out. Because life's full of problems. Life's full of problems. Time and chance happens to everybody. And if you let it get at you, you get old really fast. Life gets old. You don't want that. You want to stay young, man. You want to stay young. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song in worship. Let's let God have His way here this morning.
So turn your eyes upon Jesus. And the face of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light.
Let's worship God together here this morning. God, we praise you. We bless your name. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise, Lord. We magnify your name, God. Oh, Rama Mama Malaboro Koshati Alaboro Babalabo Sanda. Oh, Lebora Babala Mama Maribeda Leboro Koribara Labo Sanda. Yala la barra mama mama la borro corribara la la bossando rocco sati alla bossata. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praises and glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I've been in churches where the only thing left is a handful of geriatrics. All the young people have drifted off. There's nothing going on. Pretty much just waiting to die. What a horrible, horrible fate. Amen. Not getting old, that's not a horrible fate. Getting old in your head, that's a horrible fate. Losing the vision, losing the heart, just counting the days to death. It's no way to live. Hallelujah. It's been great being with you. Hope I encourage you. I'm going home. I'm going to take Las Vegas, the land of the Anakim. Hallelujah.